Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, we'll read verses 31 through 35 together. John, chapter 6, verses 31 through 35. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. God, it's very obvious that you were already here before we got here today. You wanted to be here. You wanted to change a life. Now, Holy Spirit, do that which only you can do, please. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. And God, please, may you do what you want in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I think it was last Wednesday night, my wife climbed into the car, and Holly Stanley had handed her some homemade bread. Well, I had been working on a sermon, and my wife tore off a piece of that bread and said, Honey, you want a piece of bread? Now, asking me if I want a piece of bread after church on Wednesday night is just a dumb question. Of course I want a piece of bread. Well, a few minutes later, she said, Do you want another piece? I said, Sure, I want another piece. And by the time we got home, all that bread was gone, and I had eaten many pieces of that bread. We just read a passage of Scripture a moment ago, and I'm going to preach a sermon from it. I want you to know something, though. Well, let me read something else to you. You don't need to turn to it. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says this, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I hold in my hand the only book that God ever wrote. If you have one with you, hold it up there. Let me see it. And hold your Bible up for a second. Yes, you have one. That's the book that God wrote. You may put it down. That's God's book right there. I'm to love it. I'm to love it. I'm to watch out for it. You see, the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, it's not the Word of man. You did not just hold up the words of man. You held up the words of God. You did not just hold in the sky the words of God's, plural. You held up the words of the God, Jehovah God. It is not that you just held up the words of an angel. No, you held up the words of the God of the universe. You didn't just hold up the words of woman. You say, how is that? This book isn't long enough. There's no way. As I read through the Bible, I see that the Bible describes itself in many ways. For instance, the Bible calls itself food in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible calls itself bread, as we read in John 6:35. It calls itself a ring, like a ring that you would wear on your finger in Proverbs 7, verse 3. In Psalm 119, verse number 54, the Bible refers to itself as a songbook. It's a history book, according to Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says it's a sleeping aid or a sleeping pill, according to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 20 through 24. And I know that's true because by the time I'm done preaching it many times on a Sunday morning, some of you are sound asleep, and I appreciate that. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, 2 that the Word of God is like an apple. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, that the Word of God is like a sword. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, it's like a future predictor, maybe what we'd call a horoscope. Now, I'm against the horoscope, but the Bible can predict your future. And now the Bible teaches that it is like honey, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse number 9. It's like medicine, according to Psalm chapter 107, verse number 20. It's like water, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. The Word of God is like seed, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible tells us it works like a mirror in your life. It's found in James 1, 23, 24, and 25. The Bible tells us that it is like milk in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. We're told that the Word of God is much like soap in Psalm 119, verse number 9. The Bible calls itself a hammer, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Psalm 119, 105, God said, "My Word is like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, God said, "My word is much likened unto fire." The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, the word of God is like a love letter. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, you would find that God refers to the word of God much like an x-ray machine that can see all the way into the inside of you. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 8, the Bible tells us that the word of God is like a doctor to heal all our diseases. When I became your pastor for the first 32 Wednesday nights, I preached a series to you called What the Bible Says About the Bible. I never got anywhere near done with that series. This morning's sermon is a sermon I wanted to preach a year ago, but just didn't have time after I preached to you 32 straight weeks about the Word of God. I knew we needed to move on to something else, but we'll never move on past the need of the preaching on the Word of God. And today, I bring you a sermon that I entitle, I Love Bread. I love bread. John chapter 6 compares the Word of God to bread. I want you to know, I love bread. I love it. Now, bread comes in a lot of varieties, if you will. There's white bread. And I have some white bread here today. And this is Sunbeam white bread. And there is rye bread. I've got a little rye bread here, not a lot because it doesn't take a lot. I've got some rye bread there, and then some wheat bread. I've got me some wheat bread here this morning, and then all you Southerners, cornbread, amen. Now, I don't have any cornbread right now, but there's cornbread. And then there's French bread. You say, how can you tell if it's French bread? This little spine down the back is yellow on all the French things. And then there's sourdough bread. And, oh, I can remember my mama making sourdough bread and my wife and daughter. There's potato bread. You ever had potato bread? Boy, it's so soft and delicious. Then there's pumpkin bread and sweet bread and banana bread. They have bread out called Ezekiel bread. And garlic bread and zucchini bread. And there's Italian bread. I think I have some. Yeah, I've got some Italian bread. That's WAP bread right there. Then there's pumpernickel bread. Now, my mother-in-law likes this, but she likes strange things. Pumpernickel bread. I'm not even sure what that all is made of, but there's pumpernickel bread. My wife told me about a bread called monkey bread or spoon bread. I've never had it. I don't know what it is, the way they cut up monkeys and... That's minced meat, isn't it? Okay. But there's all sorts of bread. Did you know that at the time of the Lord's Supper, they served bread? When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, God gave them manna. What was manna? It was a type of bread. I love peanut butter and jelly on fresh white bread. Oh, I love it. And if you've never had, my mama used to let me have a sandwich, not very often, but it was a sandwich with peanut butter and what we called fluff. And that's marshmallow. You ever have a peanut butter and fluff sandwich? Oh, baby. That's good stuff. I have to be careful with the fluff because I got enough fluff of my own. Too much fluff gets you fluffy. I love the smell of bread cooking. I mean, bread, just that you can smell that bread of cooking and the old, your mouth will get to watering. When I was going to Hiles Anderson College, we'd get out of church ed, and when we'd get out, the dining hall would be cooking, and you could always smell the bread. And I had to walk from my class to my car because I was married. I would drive home to eat. Well, where the single students, they would go to eat in the dining hall. And I tell you, I was miserable. I would come out of class, I'd walked to my car, and I could smell that bread cooking all the way to the car. I had to wait until I got home to be able to eat. Now, that's why I got so many speeding tickets between college and home, because I want to get home and get some of that food, because the smell of bread, boy, doesn't it make you hungry? Just talking about it, doesn't it make you hungry talking about bread? I like bread. I like sourdough bread. I think you do that with a starter. They get a little starter going, but you get hot, fresh sourdough bread, and then you take some strawberry jam and you put it on top of that, or any kind of jam, or no jam, well, not toe jam, but you put jam on top of that thing, and it's delicious. I like French toast. I like bread sticks and bread pudding and bread crumbs in my stuffing. You know, I check in the Bible. All the great men of God talked about bread. Moses talked about bread. Joshua talked about bread. Samuel talked about bread. Nehemiah talked about bread. Job did. David did. Solomon did. Jeremiah did. Ezekiel did. Hosea, Amos, Haggai, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, and Paul. They all talked about bread, so it's very scriptural to talk about bread in church. But I want you to know something. The Word of God is bread, and it is bread for everyday use. Some of you think it's cake just for special occasions. No, the Word of God, it's bread for everyday use. See, bread in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. We read that just a little bit ago. The Bible says that even the manna that was sent down from heaven, that manna was not produced by Moses. It was sent by God to the children of Israel. And Jesus compares himself to bread. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, understand something. Jesus was the walking Word of God. And Jesus said of himself, he said, "I am the bread of life." The Bible says that Jesus and the Word of God are one and the same. Jesus was the walking bread. Jesus was the walking Word of God. That makes Jesus the bread of life. And he even said that. He said, "I am the bread of life." And he was the walking Word of God. He was the walking bread of life. Now, there used to be a devotional that I would recommend called Our Daily Bread. I don't recommend it anymore because they've stopped using the pure Word of God in it. They no longer use the King James Bible. But there was a daily devotional called Our Daily Bread. You see, God compares His Word to bread because He knew we would be reminded daily of bread. And we're to be reminded daily of the Word of God. God's Word is the true Wonder Bread. Hey, God's Word is truly wholesome bread. It's the best, no doubt about it. Let me talk to you about that for a little while today. The bread of God. Let me say, first of all, you need to eat the bread of God's Word. Every person here, you should be eating of the Word of God every day of your life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey." Here, John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he gets a little vision of what God is going to do, and he is handed a book in heaven, which has to be God's words of some sort, and he eats it, and he says, "It tastes so sweet to me." The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Here God says, you should taste of me. What's He talking about? The eating of the Word of God. In Psalm 119, 103, the Bible says, "How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We're to eat of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come." Folks, we are to eat the Word of God. It is the bread of life. But how do you eat the Word of God? Well, you read it daily. You get your King James Bible out and you read it. You know, it's not supposed to be a piece of decor for your coffee table. No, it's not supposed to be something that you look around for on Sunday and hope to find it. No, the Bible is something that you should daily read for yourself. Those of you that were just saved this week, and there are some in this congregation, you just got born again this week. Let me give you the best advice a preacher could give you. You get you a Bible and you read it every day of your life. You read the words of God. That is you eating the bread that God has provided. Not only should you read it, but another way to eat the Word of God or eat the bread of God is to get under the preaching of the Word of God. Get under the preaching of the bread of God. You ought to be in Sunday school every week. You ought to be in church every time the doors are open. We have church here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, what do you do? We slice up bread and we pass it out to everybody and we eat the bread of the Word of God. You ought to listen to it on tape. If you can find the Bible on tape, it's a wonderful thing to listen to the Word of God on tape. Hey, folks, don't just carry your Bible or don't just carry your bread around with you three times a week. Do you struggle to find your Bible when it's time to go to church? I wonder why. Is it because you took it in, threw it down, haven't looked for it all week long, haven't read it one single day, and you had to kind of dig it out from underneath the newspaper and the novels you were reading and all the other stuff that you were reading? And that Bible ought to be right where you can find it, because every day in your life, you're eating of the bread of the Word of God. You know, we wouldn't do a loaf of bread that way. We wouldn't just drag it around 3 days a week. I don't think we'd do that. I don't think you'd drag it around. I'm going to use this mic, Brother Hart. I don't think anybody here would just drag a loaf of bread around with you Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know, people would begin to ask you, hey, what do you got there in that bag? Nah, just bread. What are you doing with it? I just carry it around. How many women here buy a loaf of bread, take it home, throw it on the counter, but never do anything with it? Now you tell me, what's that bread for? That's bread. That bread's for eating. Amen? That's what bread is for. You're supposed to be eating on that stuff. That, but some of you, you know what you do? You get your Bible, and here is what you'll do. On a Sunday morning, you'll find, where's the bread? Where's that bread? Where did I put it? What? Right there it is. There's the bread. Well, I've got my bag. You all got your bag with you this morning? You got your bag of bread with you? Sure you do. Did you eat any of it yesterday? Well, no. But I got me a bag of it. Got me a bag of bread right here. Nathaniel, I got me a bag of bread. I do, Brother Nash, I got a bag of bread. When you walked into church this morning, you put your bag of bread under your arm. Got my bag of bread. I'm holy. I got my bag of bread. That's it. But you laugh. Let me ask you a question. What did you do with your bread this week? What did you do with the bag of bread? Well, if you're not going to eat on it, it's not going to nourish you. You're to be eating on that bag of bread. You see, it's the Word of God. I'll tell you what, Brother Gillen, let me give you a piece of bread, man. What's that for? That's right. What's that bread for? What? Eat it. Piece of bread? Piece of bread? That's what bread's for. You're supposed to eat it. Yeah, eat that. That's good bread. That guy from the mission that handed me this, he said only the guys were using it to play cards last night. You ought to eat it. Don't just carry it around. Some of you are more interested in the plastic bag. You got you a Bible case. Boy, it's a doozy. Got embroidering on it, got your name on it and everything. What do you got there? Got me a plastic bag to put my bread in. No, that bread's for eating, folks. You're supposed to eat the bread. Don't just carry it around. I was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina this week. Was it this week? Was I in Charlotte? Yeah, this week. At the beginning of the week, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I went out to eat with Pastor Gary Berry and his wife, and we were in this fancy restaurant. I mean, they had so many forks. I'd never seen so many forks at one spot. This was a heavy-duty fancy restaurant. I was so confused. And there we were, and they brought us. We were in a private room. Eat your bread. Eat your bread. It's what bread. Where's your bread, you pig? Well, we were sitting in this fancy restaurant and we were eating, and Mrs. Barry, she said to the waitress, where's the bread? And the waitress said, oh, I am so sorry. And Mrs. Barry said, my life would not be the same without bread. And I thought, yeah, that's true. It's very true. Your life would not be the same without the bread of the Word of God. There's some of you who say, I wish my life were different. Well, let me ask you something. Are you eating of the bread of the life-changing book? And that's the Word of God. You know, the Christian life is led by the bread. You're to be eating that bread. You're to eat that bread daily. It's not just to carry around. You're not supposed to find your bag of bread on Sunday morning and tote it in here to make me think that you're a good Christian. God knows whether you're a good Christian or not. And part of it's going to be based on, are you eating the bread? You're not supposed to find it, drag it in here on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You ought to be taking your bag of bread every day that you go to that public school. You ought to take your Bible with you. You ought to be taking it to work with you. Every born-again Christian in this house ought to pull the Bible out every day of their life and eat of the bread of the Word of God. Hey, you want to go on the Atkins diet? You can go on the Atkins diet physically, but my problem is I've got people on the Atkins diet spiritually. See, on the Atkins diet, they want to take those carbohydrates away from you. They don't want you eating bread. You do what you want physically with your body, but I'll tell you something. We've got people in our church that are on the Atkins spiritual diet, and you're not eating any bread. And you're anemic because of it. So many people want their life's problems solved. When you come to me to ask me to help you with your problems, let me tell you what the solution will always include. Bread. Bread. The Word of God. It will always include the Word of God. You see, this is the problem-solving book. I'm saying to you, eat your problems away. Sounds good for the first time. Eat your problems away. Eat of the Word of God. Become a glutton by eating the bread of the Word of God. Get seconds and thirds and on. Eat the Word of God. Stuff yourself with the Word of God. You ought to eat the Word of God like Rick Young devoured that piece of bread I gave him. He's got a finger bleeding that he bit the end off of while shoving that thing in his mouth. Hey, I recommend that you eat between meals on the bread of the Word of God. I recommend that you have a midnight snack on the bread of the Word of God. I recommend that you sneak and you get some bread when nobody's watching. You eat the bread of the Word of God. Gorge yourself, but eat the bread of the Word of God. You're not supposed to have a bag full and carry it around and just flop it around and not read it. You're to read it and eat it and believe it. You see, you need to eat the bread of the Word of God. Number two, I'd recommend that you digest the bread of God's Word. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. The Bible says you're to meditate on the bread of the Word of God. Now meditate is like digest. You're to digest it. It says you're to digest it day and night. It says all that is written therein. You should eat it, and then you should digest what you have eaten. When it's talking about digesting here, it's talking about a cow. Cow will go out in the field. Cow will chew up some grass. Cow will chew on that grass and squeeze what it can out of it. It'll swallow that grass down into a stomach. I think cows have three stomachs. Is there a farmer here? Is that right, Brother Jones? They have three stomachs. Well, cow will chew on the grass. They call it its cud. And then that cud is swallowed. It'll go down into one of those stomachs. And then the juices on the inside will work on that thing for a little while. And then that cow chokes that cud back up and chews on it a little bit more. Now, that's exactly what God is saying that you and I ought to do with the bread of the Word of God. We ought to eat of the Word of God. We ought to swallow it. We ought to take it inside ourselves, and then we ought to think on it and meditate on it, kick it back out, chew on it a little bit more, swallow it down, kick it back out and chew on it a little bit more, and you're to take the Word of God, and you're to put it in your mouth, and you're to swallow it into your being, and you're to think about it, meditate on it, pray about it, and make it a part of you. That's what you're supposed to do. Some of you need to go home and think about the preaching. Instead of getting in your car and turning your music on as loud as you can, as fast as you can, why don't you go think about what was said? Why don't you let the preaching of the Word of God and the bread of God change your life? Some of you, after you read your Bible, you need to think about what you read. Some of you need to get some sermon tapes and listen to them. And listen to them. And listen to them. I recommend, if a sermon that I preach touches your heart and touches your life, what would happen if you heard it a second time? What would happen if you heard it a third time? What would happen if you heard it a fourth time? You get back there and order a tape and say, I'm going to listen to it over and over and over again. I had someone say, said Brother Owens, I seem to get more out of it the second time than I did the first. I found some things that I didn't even realize God was saying to me the second time around. I have a pastor friend up in New Jersey. His name is Pastor Jim Gailhausen. Brother Gailhausen, one day he said to me, I was preaching for him or something, and he had a copy of an old beat-up sermon tape of mine that goes all the way back to the 80s. And I said to him, I said, you can still have that tape? He said, Brother Owens, I have listened to that one particular sermon 34 times. He said, it keeps me going. There's a truth within it that has revolutionized my life, and I never want my life to become unrevolutionized, so I keep listening and listening and listening. And that is exactly what the Bible's saying in Joshua 1:8. You take it in, you chew it up, you swallow it down, you bring it back up, and you meditate on the Word of God. Brother and Mrs. Tennis were out at Ryan's the other day, and near the end of their meal, she slapped him on the arm and said, Tom, that's the 10th time you filled your plate with bread. Now that waitress is going to think you're a pig. He said, no, Barbara, don't worry. Every time I go up to fill my plate, I tell him it's for you. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you delight in the Word of God? It's what we're commanded to do. Hey, if it were physical bread being compared to the way we treat spiritual bread, let me show you what some of you do. You come to church, get you some bread. We'll compare physical to spiritual. That's what some of you do. You come to church and we get outside the door and you do this. It's exactly what some of you do. You take your bite, put up with it as long as you have to, and want that stuff in my mouth. How about some of the other trash you put in your mouth? Let's make sure that, Brother Dula, that if they walk out, they sit in the back rather than come in and disturb us again. You see, if it were physical bread compared to spiritual bread, I wonder how many of you get to the parking lot and you spit out what you just got from the bread of the Word of God. I wonder how many of us, you spit it out and chuck it under the pew. So, anyway, I'm going to swallow that. By the way, living it is digesting it. Let the Word of God change your life. Some of you have spitting parties with your friends. Meant you get a chance. You and your friends, you filled your mouth with something I preached on, you went out, found someplace so you could all go spit it out together. Let the Word of God become the energy of your life. Let the food energize you, the Word of God become food, and let the nutrients of the Word of God energize you like bread energizes your body. Take it in. Let it cause you to gain spiritual weight. You know, there are some of you, you are spiritually anorexic. You are spiritually anorexic. You have not had enough bread. That's why your attitudes are the way they are. That's why your marriage is in the mess that it's in. That's why your kids are in the mess that they're in. That's why you have bad attitudes about the things of God. You never eat bread, and you have withered away, and you are spiritually anemic, and you are losing your spiritual health. Now, you're not going to die from it, but I'll tell you this, because you never do lose your salvation. But some of you are going to live the life of a dead person because you never eat the bread of the Word of God. You never eat it. Oh, let me say, you need to learn to share the bread of God. Share it. Tell others what you read in your Bible. Share it. I like sharing bread. I like sharing it. But Aaron, let me give you a piece of bread, man. You look hungry. There you go. Eat that. Eat that. That's good for you. Hey, listen. Listen, Brother Forrest, let me give you a piece of bread. I like passing out bread. I really do. Brother Young, you did so good earlier. I'm going to give you another piece, man. Share it. Share the bread. I'm for sharing bread. Tell others, hey, let me tell you why our church is growing. Let me tell you why our church is growing. Because we're a bread factory around here. We're a bread factory. And I can tell you exactly what our people do. I'll tell you why some of you are here as visitors today. Because somebody came along and said, you ought to come taste the bread down at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Woo! Hey, let me tell you what he said last week. Let me tell you what he said the day before. Let me tell you what was preached last week. You want to know what's happening? We're sharing bread. We're sharing bread. And there's nothing better to share than the bread of the Word of God. We're sharing bread around here. You tell others what you read in your Bible. You tell others what you heard preached. You tell others what you heard in Sunday school. You tell others what was preached in chapel. And by telling others, you're more apt to remember it. Give preaching tapes away. One of the best ways for us to reach some people that we might not be able to get in this door in this church is go back and buy some sermon tape that you just feel like, boy, they need to taste that. That would be good for them. Be a soul winner. Give the bread of life away. What's the bread of life? It's Jesus Christ. We ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ. You see, our church is to be like the bakery. My staff, they're the cooks. My Sunday school teachers, they're part of the cooks that are helping to make the bread. Our church buses, those aren't church buses. Those are bread trucks. They're bread trucks. And we're taking bread everywhere and trying to take the bread of the Word of God to change people's lives. I'll tell you why some people are leaving dead churches, because they've been eating stale bread. Well, I'll guarantee you come down here, we're going to take it hot out of the oven every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. It didn't come from some old dead theologian's book. It wasn't some warmed over. This is hot bread, and it smells good all over the 32 acres of this property. Thank God for the bread of the Word of God. Oh, and don't waste the bread of God's Word. Don't waste it. Kids don't like to eat crust. You know something? When I grew up, I was required to eat the crust. That's back when people had character. That's back when parents ran the home instead of kids running the home. So why don't parents make them? Because parents don't want to eat their crust either. Pretty tough to make your kids do something you don't want to do. At our house, we eat the crust off of pizza. Matter of fact, at our house, we eat the pizza box. I like pizza, man. Oh, but what we like to do, we only want to eat the part of the bread that we like. Starts, if you're a baby, that's how you do it. I've never seen, you know what's fun? You get peanut butter and jelly and you fill your bread, but you know what a child will do? They eat the middle part out. Is that you? I got to spit this out because I can't preach with it in my mouth. But that's what some of you do spiritually. You know, you'll come around if I preach on lovey-dovey stuff, but boy, I ever get onto something that's a little crusty, a little rough, a little mature, you don't want to swallow that, do you? How come down there as long as you're lovey-dovey all the time? Well, you know what? There's crust on the bread too, hon. Oh, that's the way we are. We want to cut the center out of that thing. Folks, don't waste the preaching. Don't pray. Don't waste it. Don't just pick the part that you want. Let's not waste the preaching by not living it. Let's not waste the preaching by not obeying it. Let's not waste the bread of the Word of God. Do you waste your Bible reading? You read it, but you don't meditate on it? Don't let that bread become moldy. I preached a sermon here, be somewhat akin to this one, but I preached a sermon here on a Wednesday night called Rotten Bread. And in that sermon, I told of how that God left for the children of Israel manna on the ground so they would have bread to eat. But God said, you better eat it when I give it to you, because if you don't, it'll become moldy and rotten and it will spoil. And sure enough, if the children of Israel did not eat the bread when it was dished out, it became spoiled and rotten. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why some of you are sour Christians to this day is because somebody preached the Word of God to you and you didn't eat it and digest it and live it. And it's become spoiled. It's become rotten in your life. And you're angry about something that somebody else will live because that bread tastes bitter in your mouth. And it's bitter because you didn't eat it when it was given to you originally. That's why some of you are backslidden. In America, one of the most wasted food items is bread. It expires quickly. You could go to the dumpsters of grocery stores all over this country. The moment it expires, it begins to mold and they throw it out. They throw loaves of bread by the millions out every week in America. And that is exactly indicative of America spiritually. We're not interested in the Word of God. God dishes it out in a church like this. And there are people that will throw loaves of spiritual bread away by the millions in this country. Because we're not hungry for the Word of God. You know, bread comes from seed. Cornbread comes from corn. Corn comes from seed. You get to wheat. What happens? All the grains that are used in bread come from a seed. It's all seed. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. There's that seed. It says, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. You see, bread comes from seed. And the Bible says there is both corruptible and incorruptible seed. The seed that is being spoken of here in 1 Peter 1:23 is made very clear. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. It says here that there is seed. That seed is the Word of God. But it tells us there's two kinds of seed. There is corruptible seed. That's bad. That's so-called bread. Which means there... If there is bad seed, that must mean there's bad Bibles. Because it says there is incorruptible seed, which means there is good Bible. It means there is a real seed of the Word of God. And that is the King James Bible. The other versions are the faulty seed. But the Bible clearly states there is corruptible and there is incorruptible seed, which means if the seed, which it says in 1 Peter 1:23 through 25, if the seed is the Word of God, there must be some words of God out there that are corruptible. They're bad. They're rotten. See, there is one true bread for the English-speaking people, and that is the bread of the King James Bible. The others are considered rotten bread because they came from rotten seed. And the Bible teaches very clearly there is rotten seed. All you got to do is study it for yourself. Matthew 4:4, the Bible says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if you and I are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then there must be an every word Bible. He said you're to live every word of the book. That means He had to give us an every word book. The Bible says in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words, plural, S, my words shall not pass away. God promises His words will not pass away. Now, is God a liar? No, He's not a liar. He's all truth. He is promising us that He will give us an every word Bible because He commanded us to live every word and that His words would never pass away. Now, People say, well, that's in the originals. We don't have the originals. Nobody has the originals. The original manuscripts no longer exist. But he said in Matthew 4:4, you have to live by every word. He said, my words won't pass away. That means God had to give us an every word Bible. That or he's a liar. If he's a liar, we're all doomed. We might as well go home. Let's all go get drunk. But he's not a liar. He told the truth. He said, you're to live every word. My words will not pass away. The originals are gone. Now, where are we going to get a Bible? That's the King James Bible. It's the Bible was used by great men in history. It's the Bible used by those that seen revival and thousands saved. Charles Finney, Oliver B. Green, Lester Olof, Jack Hiles, Lee Robertson, J. Frank Norris, Tom Malone. It's the Bible that the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church has used all these years. It's the Bible of Don Smith and Bill Rice and Bob Jones Sr. and Billy Sunday. It has stood the test of time. You see, in the new translations, they changed the words. Wait a minute. How could man come along and change the words of God? God commanded you to live every one of His words. Let me give you a little warning that the Bible teaches. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It says he's going to take your part out of the book. But the Bible makes it very clear, God puts a curse on anybody who tampers with His words. He said you're not to take anything out of them, you're not to add anything to them, and if you do, there will be a curse. Now listen, we are told that we are to live every one of His words, not the new word replacements by the modern perversions. Again, there are no original manuscripts. And we need an every word Bible. And he said his word will not pass away. So we need a Bible in the English language, and he provided us that pure seed so that we could have a pure bread, so that we could eat of the bread of life, and we could abide by every word that our Father has given us. The King James Bible comes through a process that is known as the Textus Receptus. It was God's way of preserving the seed so we could have an every word book. The corrupt seed or the corrupt Bibles come from what they call the Alexandrian text or the Westcott and Hort. That's the bad seed. Now you face it, the Bible very, very clearly teaches there is both corrupt seed and incorrupt seed. It is seed that produces bread. That means there's good bread, there's bad bread. And the Bible's the Word of God. There are good Bibles, there are bad Bibles. We preach the King James Bible. The Textus Receptus was God's way of preserving pure seed. The corrupt Bibles take God out of His own book. You know that the corrupt new Bibles, they actually take God out of God's book. You know God's name is missing in the new perversions of the Bible. Let me tell you about the two most popular. There is the New American Standard Version, the NASV. Listen to this. In the New American Standard, which by the way is a corrupt Bible. Let me prove it to you. They took the name Jesus out 73 times. They took the word Christ out 43 times. They took the name Lord out 35 times. They took the name God out 33 times. 30 other references to deity were taken out. 214 times they took God, Jesus Christ, out of His own Bible. Now don't you tell me that was bright. What right does man have to come along and take God out of God's book? Now, if you're sitting here and you have one of those, I'm not mad at you. But I told you earlier, God brought you here for a reason today.
And somebody needs to speak up and say, you need to get out of your Bible of the Month Club and go back to the old black book that we used for years that established this country, that everybody preached, that everybody believed, and stop allowing the modernists to destroy you. You're believing all that trash. They have no right to change the words of God. There is a curse on the people that have changed the words of God. Listen to this. The NIV. NIV, that's the New International Version. They took Jesus out 36 times, Christ out 44 times, Lord out 35 times, God out 31 times, 30 other references to deity, 176 times. A man came along and said, the people will understand this better if we take God out. You're not to take God out of anything. That is wicked. We live in a day where people are religious, but they're not Christian. When you take God out of God's Word, you're in big trouble. Hey, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. I don't have time. I don't have time to tell you all the changes that they made. We are a King James Bible only church. We use the authorized King James Bible, the authorized King James Version, 1611. That's it. That's it. That clears it all up. You say, what about? No. King James Bible, period. That's it. We don't allow corrupt bread here. Why? It's spoiled. It's rotten. The Bible says there is corruptible and incorruptible seed. And you need to have the incorruptible. We don't allow the NIV. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody walks in here, if you got an NIV or one of these, just keep it covered. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you at all. I am preaching to my people the truth of the Word of God. We believe this. We know this. We don't doubt this. And we all need to make sure. Because some of you have come into our church in recent months. You might not understand. You don't want to embarrass yourself by pulling out a perversion. The NIV. The people who did the NIV, the New International Version, they hired a lady by the name of Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf to help with the work on that Bible. Dr. Mollenkopf, you know, it just happens to be that in the New International Version, they have diluted God's stand on the subject of sodomy. Now, sodomy, that's lesbianism, that's homosexuality. They have diluted it. They changed it so it was politically correct. Well, then, I wonder why that happened. Well, it might be because Dr. Mollenkopf, this lady that helped to do the NIV, also authored a book called Sensuous Spirituality, where she admits to being a lesbian. Now, it's no wonder that the NIV won't talk bad about sodomy when one of the translators was a queer. You say, at my church, we're not this bold. Don't tell me your burden, Sugar Plum. Anybody that's got a problem with someone boldly defending the Word of God's got a problem. No apologies will be rendered today. I will stand firm on the old King James Bible. I'm talking about we don't use the Living Bible, the Reader's Digest Condensed Version. We don't use the New King James. The New King James is a perversion of the old King James. They diluted it. They changed it. You want a King James Version, authorized 1611. We don't use the New Century Version, the New Living Translation, or the Revised Version, or the Amplified Bible. They changed the meanings of God's Word over and over and over again. Since when did people become smarter than the guy that wrote the book? God wrote that book. He gave it to us. It was a book that's carried us through the centuries. And just like everything else, folks, our society is diluting the Word of God. They want a God's Word that matches their lifestyle, and we're to change our lifestyle to match the Word of God. You say, I'm having a hard time understanding the King James Bible. Well, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will help you to learn it. But I'll tell you this, we're not to lower the educational value of the King James Bible. You're to raise your education to understand it. We're not to change God's Word. We're not to. God puts a curse on anybody that does. The Bible printers, they're out to make money. They're out to make money. That's why they copyright all their Bibles. What right does a man have to copyright God's Word? What right does man have to copyright God's Word? Now, you might have a King James Bible with a little copyright in it, but it's not a copyright on the Word of God. It's a copyright on the footnotes or the way someone has put the cover together. But there is no copyright on the King James Bible. There is not. Well, wait a minute. I take that back. There is a copyright on the King James Bible, and it is God's copyright. It is God's copyright, and He didn't need to put a big stamp on it and get permission from the copyright office in the United States of America to keep it pure. That book is God's book. It's not man's book. It's not an angel's book. It's not woman's book. That is God's book, and nobody's to tamper with it. Nobody's to change it. You're not to change the words. The Bible says we're to leave every jot and tittle alone. That's the crossing of the T, the dotting of the I. That book is God's book. King James Bible, that's it. That's it. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and its ministries will support only the true bread. Only. This is a bakery. I love bread. Y'all love bread? If you really love bread, you love what I'm telling you right now. I don't want anybody sick off of moldy, nasty bread. There are so-called churches everywhere that don't even have a Word of God. You say, what's the big issue? You mean you don't think it's a big issue when people start changing the words of God? God said what He meant what He said. He didn't need man to come along and start changing it. And He doesn't need a whole bunch of so-called Christians defending men that do change it. God owns this bakery, not the modernists. God owns this man, not the modernists. This church, this pastor will be lovers of the pure bread, the King James Bible. We will only support programs that are King James Bible programs. I will not recommend Bible colleges that are not King James Bible only. Those that are what we call home missions in the United States of America. If I find out that anybody we're supporting in a home mission is not strict King James Bible, I will not support them. I can't. I cannot be a partaker of that. Anybody that corrupts the Word of God, there's a problem there. You might not like this, but I'm going to say it. The Awana program, we had it when I came here. Dr. Smith and I talked. The Awana program has stopped using strictly the King James Bible. They're using other Bibles. We dropped out. You say, but Brother Owens, there's some good people there. Then they need to get out. That's what they need to do. I will not allow corruption in my church. I will not allow any organization to corrupt my church thinking they know more than God. That they can change His words. That you're not going to like this either. But that's why I don't support the Gideons anymore. You check. Gideons used to put King James Bibles and that's it in hotels across America. Now they're putting the NIV and the ASV. You say, but I know some good people. I do too. And the smartest thing for them to do is to get out and attach themselves to the King James Bible and stand for God's Word. And don't let an institution or an organization pull them down. They lift up the Word of God. The King James Bible is the only Bible to be used at our church. It's all that's going to be used in our Sunday schools. It's all that's going to be taught. To all the teachers, that's how it's going to be. Even the materials we pass out, every teacher in here, if you decide to get some little pencil out and it's got a verse quoted on it, you better make sure it matches up with the King James Bible or you just throw it in the trash. We're not going to allow it. We will not promote corruption of the bread that God... Hey, God's Word is God's Word. He said what He meant. He meant what He said. And we are to stick by it. Martinsburg Christian Academy. All the material used in Martinsburg Christian Academy will be material that is produced from the King James Bible. We will not allow the teaching of the Alexandrian text or the Westcott and Hort. It will not be mentioned in our schools. It's material from an institution that promotes that kind of trash. We'll not use any material like that. Our church, our school will only fellowship with other Christian schools that believe the King James Bible, and that's all. Amen. And just so you know, we're having a pretty tough time finding them. Everybody's more important than making a bunch of money off their school than standing for the Word of God. Well, we'll stand on the Word of God. I'm going to make my money at my school become a big money maker and let's see how much money we can get. I don't care about money. I care about bread. I love bread. We're going to keep the bread alive around here. We had to drive 7 hours to find a Christian school that believed the King James Bible so that we could play them in basketball. Hey, Christian schools in the area, either you've got a Bible or you don't. Either you're going to stand for God or you're not. Well, we're not going the way of the modernists. All of our outside speakers will preach the King James Bible. That's it. Our church will fellowship with churches of the King James Bible. Some of you, it's time for some of you to grow up in your Christianity. You're going to face God someday that you're a coward about this issue. You'll face God that you were a coward about it. You watch people on television that are not King James. You listen to people on the radio that are not King James. You read books of Christian authors that are not King James. Many of you are just sucked up into musicians that would have nothing to do with the King James Bible. Nothing. And if you ask them, I'll tell you what they'll say. They're cowards. They'll say, I didn't like them all. I mean, they like the corrupt and the incorrupt. You have any idea where I stand? I better get another drink of water. Brother Owens doesn't usually preach like this on a Sunday morning. But I'm not ashamed of it. See, I'm leaving this church. If you will leave the church over someone defending the Word of God, and you go put your tail between your legs and run to some sissy, effeminate preacher that won't stand for what's right, you go right ahead. I don't want you to. What I really want you to do is I want you to throw your trashy bread away and let me give you a piece, a good, wholesome King James Bible where you could eat it, digest it, and have it change your life. Say, why aren't other preachers saying it? They're too worried about getting your money. I will probably lose tithe over this sermon, but I will not lose the blessing of God over this sermon. I will not lose the power of God over this sermon. This church will roll on and God will bless it because the uplifting of the Word of God, God always has blessed it. God always will bless it. The Word of God has not changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, thy Word is forever settled in heaven. And I'm not going to tamper with it. We're going to accept it for what it is. We're not going to change it. See, I don't like this, Brother Owens. I don't like it either. I don't like to have to preach it. I wouldn't seem like so rough if some other preachers would stand up and do it. And just so you know, they're doing it all over the country. There are preachers preaching this. There's no doubt about it. This church believed it for years and years. I wouldn't have come here. I wouldn't have come here as pastor had I thought that you would support anything other than the King James Bible. No way. I already know the core of my church. I know what they believe. But we've had just enough people join us lately. We are not like the other modern churches out there. We're not like them. Don't want to be like them. We'll stand firmly. Stand firmly. If you're here today and you're not born again, may I recommend to you that you let the pure seed of the Word of God save you. Because the Bible says very clearly there in 1 Peter, said that you need incorruptible seed and you can be born again as a result of it. So you trust the seed of the Word of God to get you to heaven someday by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven. I like bread. I love it. Read it. Digest it. Share it. Stand for it. Realize that seed, bread comes from seed. And there is corrupt seed and there is incorrupt seed. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God in the English language is the King James Bible. The others are corruptions. And that's rotten bread. And we're going to stand for it, live it, love it, and promote it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.